Good
Okay,
evening.
I'll go ahead, Robert.
Good evening. This is the Courtroom Observers meeting on 14 June, 9 p.m. Eastern. We have a few people here, that's good. And we're gonna talk about a few things this evening. In an effort to make this committee and the courtroom observers more efficient, more effective, I am making some changes in how we're operating. And it'll be effective immediately. I thought I would use the word forthwith, but then at the last minute I decided I'd use immediately. One of those changes is we will no longer be discussing court cases. There's no sense in that. We're not attorneys. We are courtroom observers. And so it doesn't do us any good to be discussing cases, especially individual cases. We also will not be getting into discussion about the fiction. We will be talking about courtroom observers and how they can be the most effective. Being a courtroom observer is more important than one might realize. And it's very amazing what one person can do by themselves in a courtroom. And the NLA does have many examples of what one person can do. Now, when we decide that we're going to be courtroom observers, we need to put ourselves in the frame of mind of being professionals. And what I mean by that is dress as nicely as one can. For the men, you know, it's always nice if you could wear a suit and tie, but if you don't have a suit, at least wear a button-up shirt with a tie. Be well-groomed. Don't go in with a t-shirt and a ball cap or something, you know. Look nice. And you should have a badge, either to hang around your neck or to attach to your clothing in some way. And that badge should have your picture. And at the top, it should say, courtroom observer. And at the bottom, it should say, National Liberty Alliance. And when you go into a courtroom, you need a clipboard. You need a legal pad and a pen. You need to write down the judge's name, the prosecutor's name, the name of the court, the address of the court, telephone number of the court. And then the facts of the case. Those things that you observe, and that you hear from the judge and the prosecutor. Write them down as facts. And this way, should the client want to fight the case, they will need affidavits. And you can take your notes and make an affidavit from those notes to present to the client. And in this way, you are being effective. You are helping that client. You are providing them with everything that you possible to fight the case with as far as information. Nothing difficult. But one of the things you should remember is when you go in, you be respectful. You don't initiate contact with the judge or the prosecutor, the sheriff, or anything. Just go in, mind your own business. If they speak to you, be courteous to them. If they ask who you are, just a short answer. I'm a courtroom observer. Who do you work for? National Liberty Alliance. Don't go into detail. Just a short answer. Usually they won't ask. But when I say that one person can be very effective on their own, you know, it's always better if you have several people in as a group and everybody writing an affidavit and taking notes. However, if you're in a situation where you're the only observer in the courthouse for your client, make a show of taking notes. Be very obvious that you're taking notes. I went to a courthouse as an observer for one of the clients to do two different hearings. And on the second hearing, when the client was called up in front of the judge, the prosecutor spoke to the judge and said, I have a concern about this case, Your Honor. We have had a court observer sitting in the audience taking notes the last hearing and this hearing. And I think in the best interest of Oregon, we need to dismiss these charges on this man. And they did. They knew that they shouldn't have charged this man. There was no victim. And they knew that they were possibly going to receive some problems. And so they dismissed those charges. And that's what you can do as a courtroom observer. You can get, just by being there and by making a show of taking notes and looking professional, you can oftentimes get charges dropped. Now, back to the changes a little bit. I know that it goes contrary to what's been done in the past. But I want to make this call more effective. I want to build participation. I want people to want to know the information. Now, this call will be 1 hour or less. Never more. We will not allow it to run overtime. There may be many evenings when it's only 10 or 15 minutes if there's nothing to put out. I mean, we might get some discussions going on note-taking and dress and different procedures, and that can drag it out. But we will not go over an hour. Are there any comments on what I've said so far?
Robert, I had a question about the badges.
Yes.
Where do you get these badges from? And I'm just a little concerned that if you go in, you know, looking like you're a cop wearing one.
I made my own.
Okay.
However, you can go to an office supply store, and for $5 or $10, they'll make one for you.
Do you ever run into any flack when you wear one of those going in there?
I never get any flack from it.
Okay. Well, I know you know how to handle these things, so.
Well, it's just, it's going to attract attention, and that's exactly what you want to do.
Right.
And so when you have a badge, you look even more official.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to want to know what it says. And usually they won't say anything. They'll just try to pass by you close enough to where they can see what it says. I just smile as I walk in and I see them looking at the badge. I just smile. Pardon?
Well, I was going to ask you, what does it say? Does it say anything else besides courtroom observer?
Just courtroom observer at the top, and at the bottom, National Liberty Alliance, written out.
Okay.
And that's with your picture in the center, and that's all it needs. Now, if you're good at the way I made my badge is, I took a piece of paper and I typed courtroom observer at the top and National Liberty Alliance at the bottom, and I used the picture off of my driver's license, made a copy of it, and I put that in the center, and then I laminated it all, and I attached a clip to it.
So it's a plastic badge, right? Not a metal one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a plastic badge. I just laminated a piece of paper with the information on it. Made it look, made it look as nice as possible. But that tells them that you're there for a purpose. And they're going to want to know what that purpose is. But they seem to get very bashful about asking. They don't want to, for some reason, they don't want to ask. If they ask, just tell them, I'm a courtroom observer. Nothing they can do about it. Anything else?
At one point had information on press passes because you could be a press recorder as well. And there was a form, and I think it's still on, I was just looking for it, still on the website. And probably if you looked up that form, it would be of the right dimensions, and you could just type your information on it, NLA on the bottom and courtroom observer on the top instead of what it said, and just get your picture made. I think it used a standard something like 2¼ picture, and then just take it down to Office Depot or whoever you have for Staples and just have them laminate it, and you'll be all set too. And I think the Staples and those will add a little clip at the top on a swivel, so you can either clip it to your pocket or you can run it through a chain and wear it around your neck either way.
Well, that's also an option for sure.
Yeah. If people are interested, I could dig that up and put a reference to it on the the Courtroom Observer webpage.
That would be wonderful if you could do that.
Okay.
Robert, I have a question.
All right.
This is Ed from Duncan.
Yes.
This is the first call that I've been on with you guys. And my question is I'm assuming that we're sending courtroom observers to people who are in need to be observed. Is that correct?
Well, it's our members that have been called into court for some reason, and they contact us and request courtroom observers.
Okay, I've gotten emails several times for that, and 99, I haven't had any in my county. But so my question really is. Would it be advisable, even though there's no one in my county courtroom, whatever, like, to just go there anyway and just show my face up there and just take notes anyway?
Absolutely.
Is that a practice that you guys would think is cool?
There's many people that do that.
Okay.
Now that's, it's cool. It's always cool to do something like that, and the practice is great.
Okay, all right. Because I was thinking too, since I'm gonna, I'm going for administrator, I get my face into the courts, in a subdued kind of manner right now, just be an observer,
Well, that's always gonna help you to learn the processes that the courts go through. I mean, most of them are not legitimate anymore. However, you will learn what it is that's not legitimate. And that brings up another point, too. The Constitution is the law of the land, and the courts are required to observe the Constitution and abide by it. And so everyone should have a working knowledge of the Constitution. Because when you have a working knowledge of the Constitution, then you're sitting there in court, you recognize where the court is in the wrong. It just makes that job that much easier. And when you recognize that they have deviated from the Constitution, then you can write that fact down, just exactly what they did.
You brought another idea into my head, too, and I don't know if this is advisable as well. But let's say I go into the courtroom and I get my notebook out and I start taking notes. In my mind, and not to try to intimidate them at all, but I think it would be awesome in some time frame period while I'm doing this to actually pull out pocket-sized Constitution and kind of just flip through it to make it, again, noticeable that I'm, you know, aware of what's going on.
That is a weapon that you can use. And I got to tell you, the judges and the prosecutor do become intimidated when they see you doing these things. When you're taking notes, when you're looking at the pocket constitution,
right,
referring to different sections of it, checking on things, yes, they become
right.
intimidated. And that's exactly what you want.
Right.
The more intimidated they become, the more likely they are to throw the case out.
So now, are you recommending, just one last final question on, so shall I seek out just the, you know, like federal cases, like, of course, not traffic, but just like, if you know what I mean.
Say that again.
In other words, don't go into a municipal court, go into a federal court, the courthouse.
Well, it's you're gonna be going into both.
Okay.
And so you might wanna sit in on
both of them.
Some on both of them.
Okay.
Now you'll find often in the federal court they won't hear anymore. They won't let you in with a pocket constitution.
I heard some of them will let you come in if you turn it around backwards so you can't see what it is.
Well, that's what you might try.
Right.
But they don't like the Constitution or the Bible to be in the courthouse.
They've actually literally thrown people out for this.
I've here in Portland, in our Patriot trials, we were out in front passing out pocket constitutions and jury nullification pamphlets. The feds actually tried to arrest one of the guys, for passing out jury nullification pamphlets. And we also had guys try to go in the courthouse, in the courtroom, and were stopped because they had pocket constitutions in their shirt pocket. They wouldn't let them go in with it.
What a sad state we're in. Good heavens.
Well, that makes our job all that more important as a courtroom observer.
Sure does.
Because the more that we do this, and the more people we have doing it all across the nation, the more intimidated they are, and the more cases that we get thrown out. You know, it's justice.
I think somebody that has the telephone number that ends in 1258 is trying to talk, but the connection is so horrible it just sounds like screeching. Maybe if you have phone number 1258, try and go out and come back in because we can't understand your audio.
Right. That's me, Jan. It's Gary. I'll hang up and try again.
Okay. Well, now you came on clear. Hey, Gary, you came on clear now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm muted. It kept muting and unmuting me. It kept saying muted and unmuted.
Yeah.
So it's okay now.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Okay. You told me not what happens again.
Okay. Much of what Robert has been talking about is in the Courtroom Observer. You go to the website, click on the Courtroom Observer, and then the Courtroom Observer Protocols. And there is the information also on where and how to get your press pass. And it seems like if you can afford it, it might be a good idea to have an NLA courtroom observer badge and a press pass, because you, like Robert says, you may end up in a hostile environment for an NLA member, whereas the press is usually, you know, they're more tolerant of the press than they might be of NLA in some quarters. But it's all there. Item number three tells you where to go to get the press pass. And the same process to use to make your own NLA courtroom observer badge. So go through and read the protocols there. Refresh it.
But I hope to convince everyone to be reading the pocket constitutions. I would like to see some conversations started on the Constitution on these calls.
Good idea.
Hello, Robert.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Watchdog. I have a question. Has anybody set up any type of a checklist for courtroom observers, seeing as the courts have a definite outline and plan how they follow? Where the reason I'm asking this is because when I go sometimes, I'll take people with me who have not a clue, but they're willing to help and just to be there as a body and to show support for the people. And I think what would be good is if somebody could put together a checklist with the direction of the court, where we would look at, they could look at the outline and say, wait a minute now, they're not following this, and that's a violation of such and such.
Well, I know it's been talked about, but I don't know whether it's been set up. Do you know, Jan?
I have not seen anything on the website on it written up.
Can you put something together for us, Michael?
Oh, boy. I may. I can give it a try. I can give it a try. I haven't been in a while.
If you do that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be a really good thing for people to have, and they can download it. And then if somebody wants to accompany them, just say, well, here's a checklist, and, you know, just watch this thing and listen to what's happening. And if you find anything out of the ordinary, make a check on it. And then you could refer it back to however the violation would suffice.
Well, that would I think that would be great.
Yeah, if you can get it done, I'll post it on the website for you.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. I'll work on it. Okay, well, that's basically all that I had.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. Okay, bye.
Does anybody else have anything? Questions, conversation, discussion on anything?
I have something to say. This is Ed from Duncan again.
Yes, go ahead.
I think one of the things you said a while ago is just so vitally important. One of the things that I've been actually focusing on is not just reading the Constitution, the body of the Constitution, but the Bill of Rights. I mean, how can we even be in this organization and not know our rights? I mean, we should be able to recite those first 10, basically, you know? And,
well, you're right.
You know, it's just so, and it's like, this is something like I have so many family members and on Facebook talking about baseball statistics and this guy and that guy, and I'll mention the Constitution and they all go completely silent. It's like, how do we as Americans have, you know, like people saying Flag Day, let's honor Flag Day, let's, you know, but, you know, a real patriot needs to know the principles of liberty, you know. We need to know our rights. That's the first thing, I believe. That's just my opinion. I believe, you know, the Bill of Rights is probably one of the most important things to know. In addition, of course, to the Constitution, so we can hold them accountable, but we need to know our rights.
Well, that's that's the process that the elitists have taken us through, dumbing us down. A lot of people don't know anything about the Constitution because it's not taught anymore. Our history is not taught anymore, hardly the truth anyway. They want to change it.
They've actually done a great job in doing so, that's for sure.
Yes, they have. Well, and that's what makes our job so tough is in teaching people, because we have to start from scratch because most people don't know anything about it. And they need to know. They don't even realize the rights that they've lost.
No, if they don't know what their rights are, then they don't know if it's lost or not. Nobody has ever came up to me and said, "Hey, listen, what's your First Amendment? You know, how many rights are in the First Amendment?" You know, I always thought before I got into this that the First Amendment was just one right, but no, there's five of them in there. You know, so most people don't even know that. So it's just fascinating to know. And it's encouraging in a way because, you know, there are a lot of people who are waking up. But just knowing our basic unalienable rights is so vitally important. Because then at least you know that when a cop stops you or whatever, you know, you need to be polite. But you also, that's an opportunity. Every time that like that happens, it's an opportunity for us to even educate them in a polite way. You know, hey,
right.
Listen, I understand you're stopping me or you're doing this, but, you know, you realize that this is unconstitutional. You're violating my personal rights, my unalienable rights. But if we don't know what they are, then we can't even bring up that conversation, per se.
Well, most people are in the belief that the federal government holds all the power. They don't even know that it's we, the people, that have the power. And
right.
So they surely don't understand that it's we, the people, that wrote the Constitution to limit the authority of the government. It's not limiting us. We provided them with just enumerated powers, but we gave away nothing of our power.
Right.
We are the power. And so people need to realize that if what the government is doing is not on the list of enumerated powers, then they do not have the authority to be doing it. And that's a hard thing to get people to believe.
Well, it's very hard for them to believe because it's so out of control and they have so much power that when you make a statement like, you know, the BLM is just unconstitutional, people just look at you and say, like, what are you talking about? That's part of the government. You know, it's like they have no idea how, you know, because what you just said, like the enumerated powers that are in the Constitution, my God, has nothing to do with anything that the government's doing now. They're doing everything that's not enumerated. You know?
Well, that's right. But the only way that we can make that change is by educating the people and standing united with each other.
Well,
the government's done a wonderful job of dividing us up.
Well, I think one of the greatest things that National Libertarians has done is brought forth to our attention and brought into action the Committees of Safety again, because it is in those meetings collectively, individually, in counties, that when you get together, you pull out, the, you know, don't come to the meeting unless you have that pocket constitution, because we're going to do something of a review of one area of it, you know, and I think that should be part of every meeting, you know, whoever has created a committee of safety. I'm just bringing this up. I know this is something, you know, courtroom observer committee now, but I'm just bringing it up that I think that would be a perfect opportunity to educate each other and review the Constitution at those, you know, make it a short one or however long it can wind up being.
Well, what you hear me say in here about the Constitution, you'll hear me say the same thing in the COS meeting. And the COS is an excellent place for uniting the people, because our job is to bring the people of every county into the meetings and ask their opinions. And so, yes, there is where we'll make headway as far as uniting the people together.
Right. I believe so.
Yes. Well.
Thank you, Robert.
Yes, and does anybody else have anything? Terry, is there anything you'd like to say?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Crystal, how are you?
I'm sorry, I had myself muted. No, there's nothing really in particular that I want to talk about.
Okay. Crystal, were you here at the beginning of the meeting?
No, I had just gotten in a few.
Well, I, you know, I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, but we are not discussing cases anymore on here.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, the only thing I had to say is that the meeting I was at, there was about 300 people, the superintendents of the different schools in two different areas here. So I put it out, and the schools are letting out. So I told them all to, you know, go on the National Liberty Alliance, give them the website, so I will be in contact with them. And we're going to get this going for the summer schools and try to get these kids in the court and the teachers and parents or whatever. So that's the only thing I have to say.
Okay. Thank you. Jan, do you have anything you want to add, maybe about after calls or anything?
Not that I can think of.
Well, I think it's important that we put the word out that no one should be using this telephone number to make calls without permission from the NLA.
Oh, you mean after calls? You mean after this is shut down?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
Okay, yes. I saw one in there earlier.
Let me mute somebody here. This number, we have two numbers. This is our primary number. This call or room or however you want to describe it is useful for the NLA and for NLA purposes only. And after the calls are over, whoever runs the panel should shut down the panel and not leave it open for people to come and go. When that happens, we get into all sorts of different things being discussed, talked about, bantered back and forth, which many times are not relevant to NLA business, and also they sometimes get into discussions and legal things, and we don't want to find ourselves in the position of having someone come back and say, well, on such and such a night, you know, I brought this up and so and so said do this, and we end up liable for something that went on when we had no awareness of it. So these calls will be, like Robert says, this one will be over at 10 o'clock. And after that, the room will be closed until the next meeting, which will be the next day for this case. And that's about all I had on that.
All right. Well, thank you, John.
Sure.
Well, if there's nothing else, I'm going to close down this call. And I thank you guys for being all here, and I hope you'll be back next week.
Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, I got one more question for you. It's a concern. If you you mentioned that we cannot discuss cases on this call. So as courtroom observers, if we attend a courtroom and we have either issues that were either negative or a praise report on positive situations that we encounter, are we able to discuss those on this call?
Oh, yes. I mean, what I'm meaning when we won't discuss cases is people have been coming in and discussing their personal cases looking for help.
I see.
And
okay.
We can't do that.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. That wasn't the intent of this courtroom observers to my knowledge either.
Right.
But yeah. Okay. That's all. Thank you
all
very much. Have a blessed night.
Yeah. I think what you just mentioned, Michael, is very important. Because there's going to be a lot of questions, and like Robert said earlier, study your constitution so you know when things are running awry. And if you're not clear on whether the procedure was followed or it was in violation in some regard, bring it to this meeting and we'll discuss it. That's the perfect place for it.
Okay, one other thing you mentioned earlier was walking into court with your constitution, and they won't allow you to do that. Now, that's a violation right there before you even get into court.
Well, absolutely it is.
Yep, flag it.
And that can start your affidavit right then and there.
Right. Very good start to it, yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
All right.
Thank you, man. Have a blessed week.
Yep. You bet.
You too.
All right, thank you, guys. And I'm going to cut the recording now.